We're going to begin right where we left off before the conference. But by way of review, I want to read the symbols of our last study. The first symbol is the two witnesses finishing there. This is verses 7 through 14 of chapter 11 of Revelation. The first symbol is the two witnesses finishing their testimony. Second witness is the beast descending out of the bottomless pit, making war against and killing, symbol number three, killing God's two witnesses. Symbol four, their dead bodies lie unburied in the street. Symbol five, in the streets of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt. Symbol six, where our Lord was crucified. Symbol seven, the peoples, kindred, tongues, and nations. Symbol eight, see their dead bodies. Symbol nine, 3.5 days, and do not suffer their bodies to be put in graves. Symbol 10, rather they rejoice over the death of Christ's two witnesses. And they send gifts to one another, celebrating the fact that these two witnesses of Christ, who had been tormenting them, were at this time having no effect in the streets of the great city where our Lord was crucified. Symbol 11, after 3.5 days, God's witnesses are raised from their state of death. Symbol 12, causing great fear to fall on those who see them. Symbol 13, at this point, the two witnesses hear a voice from heaven telling them to come up here. And so they, symbol 14, ascend up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies see that they've done so. Symbol 15, it's at this point that there's a great earthquake, and the entire event begins to be repeated again as symbol 16, a tenth part of the city falls, and symbol 17, 7,000 men are killed in that earthquake, and the rest are affrighted and give glory to the God of heaven. Now, those are the symbols that we're going to be dealing with. We've dealt with all of them up to, we've dealt with the first five, and we've gotten up to the symbol number six, which is where our Lord was crucified. Now, let's begin right there. Where our Lord was crucified is speaking of us, and our rejecting on our part, and our participation on our part in the crucifying of our Lord. But we don't admit it. We do it, but we don't admit it. We reject the fact that we have crucified our Lord. Our Lord is crucified by murderers of the faithful city, which we read about back in Isaiah 1, which has become a harlot. And in Isaiah 1, it says, both Sodom, calls the holy city Sodom. And, of course, in chapter 17 and 18 of, and in the chapter 25 of Jeremiah, 17 and 18 of Revelation, 25 of Jeremiah, the same city is called Babylon. And they're types of the city where our Lord was crucified. They're all types of us. We first hate God's witnesses, and in so doing, we become a harlot city, which is full of murderers. If we put it outside of us, it's of no value to us. We don't keep the things that are written in this book. But if we bring it within and we apply it within, we are reading and hearing and keeping the things that are written therein. City is full of murderers. We've all hated our brothers, and in so doing we hated Christ, and in so doing we have murdered Christ. While God's rebellious people are called a rebellious wife, they're also called Gomorrah and Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of abominations of the earth. It's in this city that all of God's prophets are murdered. In other words, this takes place within you and me, wherever we are, whenever we're there. Revelation 18:4. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. That's Revelation 18:24. Revelation 17:3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written. You know, we have our name, and nobody knows but us. This woman has a name written on her forehead. Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. So, verse 6, I saw the woman drunken with the blood of saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. John wasn't admiring her. That's not what it means. It's just that he was in awe of what this woman has become. You and I are the earth. We've seen that time and again, Jeremiah 22, verse 29. Well, earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. We're the earth. And we are that beast that that woman sits on. And that woman tells that beast within us, what are our doctrines? And we are, as such, called, according to Paul, chief of sinners. 1 Corinthians 15:9, I am the least of the apostles, that I am not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church. Every time we denied the truths that we now see, we were persecuting the church and denying Christ. Galatians 1:13, for you have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jewish religion. How beyond measure. I persecuted the church and wasted it. 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul didn't say, of whom Antiochus Epiphanes is chief. He didn't say Barabbas is the chief sinner. And he didn't put it on the people who killed Christ. He knew who killed Christ, and he knew that it was him. And we have to see it the same way. We don't look out, we look in. If we place the death of Christ on others, then he didn't die for our sins. If we don't see ourselves as his persecutors and the persecutors of his church, and if we see... But if we do see ourselves as his persecutors and persecutors of his church, then we'll see ourselves as chief of sinners. And we won't have any trouble seeing Christ dying for our sins. And then we'll know that we are the great city where our Lord was crucified. It'll all fit together. And it'll all mean something to us, because we'll be keeping the things that are written therein. We're the great city where our Lord was crucified. And if ever we're given to see that spiritual truth, then we'll have no trouble at all understanding that the peoples and kindreds and tongues and nations within the streets of that great city where our Lord was crucified are all the affiliated false doctrines which are also within each of us, supporting each other and rejoicing that each and every one of all those peoples, kindreds, tongues, and nations are now free from the constant scrutiny and torment of those who remain faithful to the words of the Lord and are always putting the words of the Lord right in our face. Saying, well, yeah, but didn't he say, love your enemies? Didn't he say that as in Adam all die, so in Christ will all be made? Didn't Christ and his apostles teach us that he was going to save everybody? And all the scriptures that back that up? That's all nullified now. We've put it out of our minds and hearts, and we can rejoice over their death. They that dwell on the earth will rejoice over them and make merry and send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell upon the earth. Them that were tormenting us as the earth. We rejoice now because, symbol number 8, we see their dead bodies, and because we know that no one within us will now be tormented by having to hear their words. We gloat over their dead and ineffective bodies, and we do so the whole 3.5 years, the 1,260 days, the time times and half a time, that they are dead in the streets of that great city. 3.5 days and 3.5 years is just as meaning the same thing as cows and corn mean the same thing. That time is said to be, which is our ninth symbol, 3 days and a half. during which we do not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. These 3 days and a half are not the last 3.5 days of 1,260 days, or 40 and 2 months, or 3.5 years, any more than Pharaoh's dreams of cows and corn are two separate things. They are one. They are one, and so is this 3.5 days and 1,260 days and 40 and 2 months and time times and half a time. They're all one period of time, which symbolizes the time we are rebellious recipients of this witness against us concerning the words of this prophecy. It's also during that time that we all, our tenth symbol here, rejoice over the death of Christ's two witnesses and send gifts to one another, celebrating the fact that these witnesses of Christ, who had been tormenting us, were at that time having no effect in the streets of our great city. I remember distinctly watching a TBN program where a man was telling about the people who were persecuting TBN and pointing out TBN's false doctrines. And he says, he just chuckled and said, but they don't have a satellite, a system of satellites to carry their message to the world. Poor slobs. You know, the fact that we're not able to share the things that we've been given with the world at this time does not make the things that we're saying untrue. All that matters is that we're faithful to the Word of God. And let the whole world consider us dead in the streets of their great city, because we are to them the smell of death, as the scriptures say. So the tenth symbol is rejoicing over the death of Christ's two witnesses and sending gifts to one another, celebrating the fact that these two witnesses of Christ, who had been tormenting us, were at that time having no effect in the streets of our great city, where we have crucified our Lord. Now, I actually saw these same two men on TBN rejoicing over the fact that those who disagreed with them didn't have the means of getting their message out. And this takes a lot of nerve, but they've got it. It's been given to them by God. They actually said, we're not going to do anything, ask you to do anything that we don't do ourselves. So we're going to plant a seed ourselves as an example to you. And so each of those men exchanged a $10,000 check with each other. Tell me that doesn't take nerve. Tell me that doesn't take all kinds of nerve. But they did it right there in front of the whole world, and those who agree with them thought, wow, yeah, I probably ought to do what they did. Except when they send in the check, there's not another check coming back to them of equal value. And they don't get it. Well, I pray that God has given us just a little more discernment of spirits than to fall for something like that. And we know that this is all intended to be that way. And it's a work of God. But after the 11th symbol is after 3.5 days of being unable to say or do anything, just as it seems that the flesh has won the battle and we're sucked in by all of this heresy and false doctrine and we've actually just given up, it's at that point that God's two witnesses are raised from the dead and the world sees them. It says, in the days of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God begins to come to its end and to be fulfilled. And its purpose. This is referred to as God's witnesses being raised from their state of spiritual death. Let's put these two verses side by side and observe how they're to be understood as one and the same event. Revelation 10:7. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he begins to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he declared to his servants the prophets. This is being built up, being anticipated. That seventh trump is coming. And in that time, the mystery of God is going to be finished. And he's going to give rewards to his servants, the prophets. Now, put that verse, Revelation 10:7. The mystery of God should be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets, together with this verse in Revelation 11:11. After 3 days and a half, the Spirit of God, of life from God, entered into them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. In the same hour, there was a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted, and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past. Behold, the third woe comes quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ. The destruction of all the peoples and kindreds, tongues and nations within the streets of the great city where our Lord was crucified. That's what we're talking about here. Now, the 12th symbol is great fear fell on those who saw them. Those who saw them and their enemies are all the self-supporting lies and false doctrines which support Babylon and the great power that they're given to kill God's witnesses. The witness of God's word within us. The loss of their dominance over our lives and minds brings them great fear within us. We are brought to the point that we are deathly afraid that we're going to lose everything. Everything we've ever stood for was wrong. We see that. And we've got to face it. Psalms 47, verse 3. He shall subdue the people under us, the nations under our feet. Psalms 106, verse 34. They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them. We're supposed to destroy the nations and bring everything. Well, we'll get to it here. 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of God. Thoughts. That's the nations and the peoples and the tongues. And we bring them captive. Ephesians 6:12. Just to prove it. Make it crystal clear. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Literal peoples, nations, language, tongues, and nations. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this age are the peoples, kindreds, tongues, nations within the streets of the great city where our Lord was crucified. That's what they are. Not flesh and blood. Now, a 13th symbol. At this point, the two witnesses hear a voice from heaven telling them to come up here. Now, here's what happens to those who are given to witness to the truth of these words. Ephesians 2:4. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in transgressions, made us live together with Christ, alive together with Christ. For by grace have you been saved. And raised us up together and seated us together in the heavens in Christ Jesus, that in the coming ages he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Now look at Acts 9:1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest. It was when we were dead in transgressions, while we were still in the process of persecuting the disciples of the Lord, that we were struck down on the road to Damascus. That's when it happens, while we're yet in transgression. Only then does the seventh angel begin to sound, And only then does the mystery of God begin to be finished within us. This isn't at the end of our experience, it's at the beginning of it. So that we as God's two witnesses are both buried with Christ and also raised in newness of life to witness to the very people who we were only yesterday. Romans 6:3, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we're buried with him. But we're alive and walking around. No. Yes, we are. But we're buried with Christ in baptism. In baptism into what? The baptism of the water by the Word. The baptism of water by the Word. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, I think it's about verse 26. Check that out if you would, please. Therefore we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we should walk in newness of life. Why does our natural man want to place all this prophecy at the end of Adam's dominion over the kingdoms of this world? It's because they're spiritually discerned and he cannot see the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him. And that's 1 Corinthians 2:13-14, which we've covered many, many times. Nevertheless, for the man who is able to discern the things of the Spirit, Romans 6:3-4, which we read there, is the fulfillment and down payment. It's Colossians 2:12, which says what?
Therefore we are buried with him in baptism into death, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the
Father.
That's
Romans 6:4.
Oh, I'm sorry. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead.
Okay. Now, what does our natural man want to place all this prophecy at the end of the age of Adam's dominion over the kingdom of the world? It's because they're spiritually discerned and he can't see spiritual things. Nevertheless, for the man who is able to discern the things of the Spirit, Romans 6:3-4 is a full fulfillment in down payment form of Revelation 11:12. It is in Christ that we are made to sit with him in the heavens. Revelation 11:12 is where they're raised up inside of their enemies. It's at this point that all who know us, within and without, become aware that we're not who we once were. That shakes people up. They want us to be who we always were. People are comfortable, even if we're drunk. They know us as a drunk. That's what they expect out of us. And for someone just to change is a frightening thing. You don't know that person anymore. And I've had so many people tell me, people don't change. Oh, you're right, people don't change, but God changes people. God makes changes in lives. And when he does, believe me, everybody knows it. Everybody who knows that person's changed. It's at this point that all who know us, within and without, become aware that we're not who we once were. And they become witnesses of the fact that we ascend into heaven in a cloud. And as our enemies see us, they know that that's what's happened. The cloud in which we ascend is the same as the words of witness, which are called fire, which proceeds out of the mouth of God's witnesses. It's those who have those words that we are in the cloud with. It's God's own words, which we are beginning to be able to spiritually discern, and it's the same cloud that's always witnessed to the truth of those words of God. Hebrews 11:37. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world is not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. Wherefore, that's the last few verses of Hebrews 11. And then Hebrews 12:1 is the next verse saying, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. He's talking to us. And he says we need to set aside weights and sins that beset us and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. It's at this point, having been made to sit with Christ in the heavens, that there is, verse 15, a great earthquake. I mean, symbol 15, a great earthquake. And this entire event begins to be repeated by us being the witness to others. Whereas before, they were witnessing to us. We were lying dead in the streets. We were the ones who were killing God's witnesses and considering them dead in the streets of our cities. Now we become those who are dead in the streets of that city. We become the new Saul of Tarsus. Or we begin to witness to the Saul of Tarsus, who persecute the new Paul, the apostle, who is now a witness. We were Saul, now we're Paul. Just like Saul was Saul and then became Paul. He had to be Saul first. He had to persecute the church first. Because we all do that. He's a type of us. Now he's a witness of the exceeding riches of his grace. The grace of Christ is being witnessed in the ages to come. That's in those that are to come after us. Ephesians 2:6 has raised us. I'm going to read it again just to keep it in mind. Raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. King James, that's King James, just made us to sit in the heavens in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ. When Christ was praying for his disciples, he says, I'm not praying to his Father, he said, and for our benefit. He says, I'm not praying just for them. I'm praying for those who will hear their words. So Christ prayed for you and me to hear his words and to be able to sit with him in the heavens, to be able to ascend in the clouds in the presence of our enemies. Now here in Ephesians 2:7, the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us. Here's how that's worded in the analytical literal text. So that he should show in the ages, the ones coming, the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. That's why Christ said, let him that reads understand. He knew there were ages coming, people coming, aeons coming. Here's how this verse is translated in the Concordant version. That in the oncoming eons, each life is an eon, he should be displaying the transcendent riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Remember, Christ has declared that we, just like he is, are the light of the world. We're the light of the world. He also declared that as he is, so are we in this world. 1 John 4:17. And remember also that it was only 5 verses earlier in the same second chapter of Ephesians that we were told that every sinful life of mankind in this age is an eon of this world. Listen to this. Ephesians 2 verses 1 and 2. You being dead in the trespasses and sins in which you did walk, according to the age of this world, the eon of this world, according to the ruler of the authority of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. That's Young's literal translation. But it uses the phrase, the aeon of this world. So it is that our old man is destroyed by this great earthquake, and our new man increases as it is renewed day by day. And it is renewed. It is the renewal of our new man, which constitutes and continues to destroy our old man and cause him to decrease. John 3:30, he, that's Christ in us, must increase, but I, the old man, must decrease. Now that is described in our 16th symbol as a tenth part of the city falls, and 7,000 men are killed in the earthquake, and the rest are affrighted and give glory to the God of heaven. Now, 7,000 men isn't that big of a deal in battles back in biblical times. Why, thousands and thousands of people would die in one day. 23,000 died on the, or 3,000 died on the day of Pentecost. At another time, there were 23,000 people who died. 7,000, you say, what's that? What's the big deal about that? 7,000, there, you know, 66,000 died in the earthquake in Bam, Iran just a couple of years ago. 230 1,000 people died in the tsunami. So this means something other than what it's saying, as it always does. And the significance is the seven. Seven and thousand. Thousand is another way of saying tens. It's a multiple of tens. So we've got seven and ten that we're concerned with in this verse. Seven is the complete. You know, the complete number that God needs to accomplish his purpose has been decimated within us, within our flesh. That's where the thousands come in. Thousand, ten, is just, we've got a series on numbers, and you'll see in that series, it's on the site. Just go to Numbers in the Bible, and you'll find it. Just put the number ten in, and look it up on the site, and you'll see what I'm talking about. The number ten with the Ten Commandments, the ten plagues, the ten rebellions against God in the wilderness. All of this has to do with the flesh, and it's maturing. It matures to a complete Adam. And in doing so, there you end up with the number thousands. But this is 7,000 men are destroyed, and the rest give glory to God. Psalms 107, verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves thereof. They mount up to heaven, and they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and they are at their wit's end. That's where the thousand comes in. The flesh is perfected. And just as the man of sin thinks he has won it all, God brings up the great waves that we endure in our walk, and it's through our trials, through our times of darkness, that we are delivered. Then they cry to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He makes the storm a calm, so the waves thereof are still. Then they are they glad because they be quiet. So he brings them into their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. That statement is repeated four times after just such statements. Now we've been prepared to become the recipients of all the fury of the old man, which this great earthquake begins to kill and to crucify on a daily basis. So now let's summarize all these symbols that we've covered. Let's reread the verses we covered today and summarize the symbols. Verse 7. When they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and kill them, shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the streets of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell on the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet. And great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up here. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour there was a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past. Behold, the third woe comes quickly. Okay, let's go through these symbols quickly. The two witnesses finishing their testimony we saw is the end product of the revelation of Jesus Christ, who is the end of our salvation. The second symbol is the beast ascending out of the bottomless pit, making war against God's two witnesses, and this is the beginning of this revelation, where we are the beast. We're that beast. And all we're interested in at this point in our walk is, number three, the killing of Christ's two witnesses by rejecting their fiery words and persecuting and belittling their testimony before the whole world. I've done it, you've done it. We've all done it. We've rejected the truth. We've rejected Christ. Their dead bodies lie unburied, the fourth symbol, and we rejoice over our rejection of their testimony and their witnesses of the words of God. The fifth symbol is the streets of the great cities where they're lying, and that spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, and it's the ways of this world within us, which we reject when we reject the ways and the streets of the true Jerusalem, which will become our mother when we repent of our streets of Babylon and living in those streets where we reject our Lord and kill Him and His witnesses. The sixth symbol is where our Lord was crucified. Again, it's within us. It's we who have disesteemed our Lord and have crucified Him. That's where also our Lord was crucified. It's in us, not in other people. Seven is the peoples and kindreds and tongues and nations are all within the city where our Lord was crucified. As such, they're symbols of all that supports the lies and the doctrines and the way of life in those streets in the great city wherein our Lord was crucified. The doctrines which we withstand, the fiery testimony of our Lord's witnesses. We see their dead bodies because we are in rebellion to our Lord's commandments to love and forgive our enemies. And we certainly consider these two men to be our enemies. So we're gloating over their dead bodies and their inability to save us from ourselves. 3 days and a half is the ninth symbol. And for those 3 days and a half, we don't suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. Again, whether it's days or years or months, and times we spend rejecting the testimony of the two witnesses, the time we spend as the two witnesses is the same. Of course it is, you know, because as we witness, we're going to do so for the same period of time that we rejected the witness. It's a symbol, and it's a symbol of that time. That time when we're witnessing, that time when we're being rejected. That time Christ is witness to us, and that time that we are rejecting Christ's witness. Whether it's expressed as 3.5 days or 1,260 days, both are in the same chapter speaking of the same experience. And as Joseph told Pharaoh concerning Pharaoh's dream, his two separate dreams concerning the cows and the corn, the dream is one. And in this case, the time is one. And that one time is the time in which we are considered to be dead by those who are in that city where our Lord was crucified. That time is the whole of the time of our testimony. The tenth symbol, they shall rejoice over them and make merry and send gifts one to another because of the death of the gods of Christ's two witnesses. This is us as we celebrate the fact that these witnesses of Christ who have been tormenting us with the words of God are now having no effect in the streets of our great city where we also are crucifying our Lord. The 11th symbol, after 3.5 days, God's witnesses are raised from their state of death, just as we have been given ourselves over to the desires of our flesh and have denied our Christ with an oath and have done so 3 times, we are granted repentance and we go out and weep bitterly, just like Peter did. Just as the flesh seems to have won it all and the voice within us has been silenced, we're raised up from among the walking dead. And then the 12th symbol is fulfilled, causing great fear to fall on those who see us. Yes, we've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless, we live now. And we're living by the faith of Christ. Our new life causes all who know us to fear. Just as all the people and kindreds and tongues and nations within us fear the day of their demise and the waning of their influence in our hearts and minds. And that brings us to our 13th symbol. At this point, the two witnesses hear a voice from heaven telling them to come up here. And so they, in the 14th symbol, ascend up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies see that they've done so. And that cloud of witnesses is, of course, agreeing with all who have come before them, being faithful to the words of Christ. The 15th symbol is, at this point, there's a great earthquake, and the kingdoms of this world are shaken. as we are delivered from the dominion of sin in our lives and all the false doctrines that have held us in that sin. And as this entire event begins to be repeated again in the oncoming ages, 16th symbol is a tenth part of Ziti Falls, and this is the death of all that appeals to our flesh in that city within us where our Lord was crucified. You literally despise the things you once loved, and you love the doctrines that you once despised and considered to be heresy. And the 17th symbol was the 7,000 men were killed in the earthquake, and the rest were fried, and give glory to God. 7 is the completion of the process of the destruction of the great city where our Lord was crucified. All within. The kingdom of God is within you, and the kingdoms that it destroys must therefore be within. The remnant give glory to the God of heaven, because the fall of this great city is the birth of Christ in you, and having this treasure in earthen vessels. Now, next week, if the Lord wills, we will be informed of what the seventh angel means, what it means when the seventh angel shall begin to sound. And we'll see that this seventh angel is simply the fulfilling up of the wrath of God that has been displayed by all the evil angels. And that's the word that is used in Scripture, which have been sent to us through the seals and trumpets that have been this book up to this point. Here's what we'll be covering next week. Here's the verses that we've read just now. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he's declared to his servants the prophets. Verse 15 here in chapter 11, the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, we give thanks to thee, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because you have taken to you great power and have reigned. And the nations were angry, and your wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged. And you should give reward to your servants the prophets and to the saints, and to them that fear your name, small and great, and should destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and a great earthquake and great hail. Now, if you know what the kingdom of God is, that it's within you, and you know, as Luke 17 verse 20 and 21 say, and you know what the temple of God is, that you are the temple of God, then all of these verses are going to mean something more than they mean to anyone else. There'll be a different take on them. But let's just stop there, and since we're through with the verses we covered, or to cover today, and let's ask God just to give us the ability to keep these things in their spiritual perspective, and help us to see with spiritual eyes what all we've studied today really is, because it's a struggle every time you pick the scriptures up to see things from a heavenly perspective.